Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Talking about these wristbands, I was just at a wedding over the past weekend and there were three bowls. The green was for I'm okay to hug and whatever. Yellow was caution. Fist bump and elbow bumps are fine. And please use social distancing, 6 feet and wave. And then the last one was I don't want to be around anybody. But she's saying at this event, since it was family, I didn't see any other color but green. Everybody wore the green. It's okay to hug and all the rest of that kind of stuff. Dr. Copin, we were just saying that this is one thing that some companies are using, some social events. I mentioned a convention even, are now putting these out there so that you can signal to others around you, you know, how you're feeling about stuff. How are you feeling today, first of all, Dr. Copin?
Well, thank you, Anna. I'm feeling great. I hope you are, too. You know what this reminds me of? Remember the old mood rings people used to wear? Right? You could look at the ring, and it was supposed to tell you the mood that the person was in.
Those were huge.
It's kind of the same thing, you know, to do that. You know, you could probably change from a green to a yellow as the party goes on, and if you're not so happy with the way the party's going. But, you know, seriously, I commend any effort like this. It's a way to respect other people, right? You know, not everybody wants to interact with others in the same way. And if people can come up with socially acceptable ways to be able to just let others know how they want to be treated during this time when we're still in a pandemic, more power to them. But boy, I'm sure waiting for the day where we can just stop with all this, huh?
Yeah, I am too. But I wonder also if we're going to live with this, what that looks like. And I'm always curious about the ways people go about that and what works and then maybe what doesn't as well. This is a way I think you can do it at a wedding because weddings are places when people are joyful and they want to hug and you want to, in my family, the Greek family, they want to kiss each other and all that stuff. And not everybody's comfortable with that, Dr. Copin, right now, but some people are. And you can make that known really easily. Hey, I want to ask you about this because Illinois' case rate is now the 10th lowest in the nation, they say, per 100,000 people. That's certainly good news and a relief and that sort of thing. I wonder what you make of that. And then I also want to ask you, we've had unseasonably warm weather. And does that impact our numbers? Do you feel that it'll change as people move indoors? Want to get your take on that.
Yeah. So first of all, I think, how great it is that, you know, over the last 14 days, we've seen almost a 40% decrease in new cases in Illinois. So that's absolutely amazing. It's fantastic. We're down to 14 cases per 100,000. So we're absolutely moving in the right direction. And the wonderful news is this is pretty much the entire state. Where we were seeing certain counties in the state that were on fire because of the Delta variant, we're not seeing that right now. So I think we can feel really good about that. There's all over the country that they're seeing the same experience. There's unfortunately still some places in the upper Midwest, particularly upper Wisconsin, parts of Minnesota, over into North Dakota. And now New England, which had been pretty untouched, is starting to see Delta. So as we predicted, Anna, the entire country, region by region, unfortunately, is going to experience the Delta variant. It seems, though, that at this point we're behind. We have that behind us. How much of that, the beautiful weather that we've had throughout September into now October, till we had all this rain the last couple of days, people being outside, not being inside together in confined spaces, how much that has to do with this, I don't know that anybody can say. I'm hoping, though, that as we start to spend more time inside, we're going to continue to see this downward trend in the amount of new cases of COVID.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I hope that it's just the vaccination rates are that high and that people are getting used to how to handle this kind of thing. And hopefully the cases do stay low. You want to ask you also, there's something in the news today, Dr. Copin, about an antiviral pill they're seeking FDA approval for that has shown some promise in keeping down hospitalizations and death. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so Merck has gone to FDA to get an emergency use authorization, an antiviral pill that in its phase three trials looks incredibly promising for people at risk of having severe COVID. So this would be older people, immunocompromised people, unvaccinated people. 40 pills over 5 days, so that's 8 pills you got to swallow a day. And it just had the data that Merck itself publicized looks very, very optimistic. So as we always say, now we'll wait and see what the FDA does with this. But my expectation is we will see an emergency use authorization, and we'll have the ability to use this as treatment for people who have early COVID. That's how an antiviral medication works. We give it early COVID. Now, Anna, the other thing that we're seeing, there's evolving treatment options besides this. There are other drug companies, Pfizer, a couple of others, who have their own antiviral pill in the works. We're probably going to be hearing about those pretty soon. And in addition, the monoclonal antibodies that we've been able to use in various cocktails, there's additional cocktails coming out from other manufacturers. So we're going to have a variety of treatment options available to us pretty quickly. So that'll be good to have that. So a lot of work being done. And this is really an example of watching how evolving treatment options develop with a new disease like this novel coronavirus.
One of the things that's pointed out about the pills in particular is that it could lift the burden from hospitals if this is that effective in keeping people well enough that they don't need that kind of treatment. Do you agree?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Yeah, you know, that's what Merck is saying. We'll have to see what the real life experience is. But boy, wouldn't that be great? One question, though. Anyone who's out there who's not been vaccinated, please do not see this as an additional reason not to get vaccinated. It's not a replacement for vaccine. Vaccination is still the very best therapeutic measure that we have to keep us from getting sick, going into the hospital with COVID. We just now will have this antiviral pill, hopefully, to be one of the medications that physicians can use to either keep people out of the hospital or keep them from getting sick should they get a breakthrough infection, which is severe.
Can I ask you a question? Because it seems as if there is so much focus on the unvaccinated to try to encourage them to get the vaccine. And I get that. One of the things that I see in news reports a lot are unvaccinated younger people who are very sick or else have tragically passed away from COVID. And I wonder, is the Delta variant claiming younger people, or is it same relative to the population we saw before, Dr. Copen?
Yeah, well, there's no question, number one, that the Delta variant is more infectious, much more infectious than the previous variants that we saw. And that's part of the reason why we've gone through this wave, this Delta wave, over the last 2.5-3 months. Unfortunately, yes, it has infected lots of young people. And of those young people, there are numbers of young people who got ill enough to be hospitalized and some died. And for the most part, these people have not been vaccinated. And that has to do with the Delta variant, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the answer. 516 says, another question for Dr. Jeff. I read recently there will be a combo flu COVID vaccine. Is that true? What's the status of it being available? Thank you.
Yeah, they're working on it. We're not going to have it this flu season. So we still have to go get just the flu shot. And as I've been encouraging our listeners for the last couple of weeks, Anna, everyone, please, regardless of your age, go get a flu shot. We potentially could have a bad flu season this year, and flu shots can be very effective. So we want everyone to get a flu shot. Should we have another jump in the number of cases of COVID, and I hope it doesn't happen, but I can't guarantee it won't. And if we have a bad flu season, that could put a lot of pressure on our hospitals. And we can avoid that if everybody goes out and get their flu shots.
Anna, could you ask Dr. Copen about the Moderna booster, please? I'm getting kind of anxious about this. I'm already 9 months out from the vaccine. What do you think, Dr. Copen? What do you know?
Yeah, so FDA started its deliberations today on the Moderna booster. The professional staff at FDA put out a 50-page report today. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing. I just was able to glance at it briefly before we went on the air. They're not making a recommendation yet on the Moderna booster. Over the next 2 days, so Wednesday and Thursday of this week, the vaccine committee at FDA will be pouring through the Moderna data, and we should get a recommendation from FDA by the end of the week. So hold on a couple of days, we'll know, and maybe, Anna, as soon as Thursday, we'll have more to be able to talk about with the Moderna vaccine.
Okay. Hey, Dr. Copin, question for you. If a child receives the nasal spray version of the flu vaccine, can it cause symptoms like a runny nose to spread to family members since it contains a live part of the weakened virus? What do you think about
that? No, you're not going to be transmitting the influenza virus from that. And yes, the kids can't, people who do get the nasal, the intranasal vaccine can develop a runny nose, but you don't have to worry about transmitting the virus to somebody else.
This is a big one. Smoking marijuana could lead to breakthrough COVID cases, according to a new study. What do you make of that study, Dr. Copin?
Why not, right? that population study, though, actually are people who have significant drug use issues. So we don't know much about their behavior. Are these people being careful when they're out in public? Are they in confined spaces with other people? We don't know that. One thing that we could expect, smoking anything, be it marijuana, cigarettes, anything that gets inhaled, has the potential to affect the body's natural defenses against viruses of all kinds. So, for example, we know people who smoke cigarettes or people who are heavy marijuana users, they actually get more regular colds than non-smokers. So it would be a logical extension to think that somebody who's a regular marijuana user or cigarette user would be at higher risk of contracting COVID. So that makes sense to me.
Question was, over 40, the loss of smell or taste is a harder symptom to go away in older people. Have you heard about this before?
Yeah, there's a report that this recently came out looking at that. This would be one of these long COVID symptoms, Anna, that we've been talking about that we're only learning about as time goes on, right? We haven't had long COVID before, so we have to learn about it. What this one report, and I really have to stress, it's one report, it's not a very large number of individuals. People under the age of 40 seem to recover their lost sense of smell and taste more quickly than people over the age of 40. That's all we really can say right now. I would say on these kinds of reports, nobody should panic. We shouldn't make any premature judgments. We're going to need more time and more data to be able to understand the different symptoms of long COVID, including the loss of smell and taste.
All right, Dr. Copin, thank you as always for spending time with us and our audience here at WGN. We appreciate you.
It's my pleasure, and we'll see what FDA has to say about Moderna when we get later into the week.
I know you'll keep us posted. Thank you, Dr. Copin. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dr. Jeffrey Copin is Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital.